Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
I would like to welcome you all to this morning's service at Emmanuel Church, which is part of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches. I would also like to welcome any visitors who are amongst us this morning for the first time. Please make yourselves known to me or to the stewards after the service. Greetings to those listening through recording. I hope you feel part of Emmanuel. Our church minister today, Reverend Robert Jordan, will be leading this service. And the Bible reader this morning is David Bevan, and the reading is from the New Testament, from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 22 to 35. And the prayers of intercession will be led by John Blakesley. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news, but just a reminder that there will be a church meeting after this service. And for those who are interested to stay behind and have lunch together, they can do so after the church meeting. Before I light the Christ candle, Anne Farrell want to share something. So, Anne, could you please come forward?
Good morning. There are two things I need to talk about. One is, as you know, after the service, we have our AGM. We do need a quorate, and I would just like to know whether you would raise your hands if you're a member and you are going to stay for the AGM. Can you put your hands up, please, so we can give you a count? We're okay. Thanks ever so much. We look forward to seeing you. On a more pleasant note, I know that you read in weekly news that there was a special occasion last Monday, and that was that Robert celebrated 40 years of being a minister. And we didn't like that to go past unnoticed, so we have a card for him, and I wasn't quite sure what to get him, but in the end, I've got him 40 chocolates. And so that when he eats one chocolate, he thinks about each year of his ministry.
Thank you, Anne. I will now light the Christ candle as we remain in silence in preparation for the service.
Good morning, all of you, and welcome to our service this morning, and thank you for the happy birthday. Yes, 40 years. I can remember that day, and lots of things that happened after that day are a blur. And I've always said, Jeff, you may agree with this or not, but one of God's gifts to ministers is sometimes the gift of forgetting. Things that are said to you in private, you forget them. I remember one case, and the lady years later came up and said to me, "Do you remember this we talked about?" I said, "No, I don't. You asked me to forget about it, and I have." And it took her 2 seconds to go from offended to relieved that I had forgotten about it. But the gift of holy amnesia is a gift that God sometimes gives you. But it's moments like this that bring back the joys. And so I am very grateful for being minister of Highworth and Emmanuel United Reformed Churches. Thank you very much. The call to worship today are words from Psalm 24, which, as from the Reformation on, was often used as the call to worship in the Protestant churches that were emerging. "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. We are God's people." Amen. Hymn from Rejoice and Sing, hymn 567, "Thy hand, O God, has guided thy flock from age to age." Time in the service for a prayer of thanksgiving and a time for confession, and we will end this prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. It's so easy to rejoice and be glad when we see what we see at this time. the cherry blossoms in the town gardens, the explosion of nature coming out after its winter sleeping into buds, branches that look dead, filled with new leaves, the cacophony of the birds singing in the early morning or at sunset, people giving thanks 2 or 3 days in a row that it hasn't rained, the sun that shines, though it's still a bit chilly. We give you thanks, dear God. We give you thanks in the cycle of nature. We give you thanks that tomorrow the world will remember World Earth Day. We give you thanks that you have given us the task to care for your creation. Sometimes we do a good job and sometimes not so well. Thank you for all that inspires us to look beyond the present moment in faith and in hope. Thank you for all the good things we can remember, for the paths we have traveled, and suddenly discovering that even if we felt down, you were always there, and out of the blue, a voice, a friendly voice, called us by name and sat with us or walked with us. We thank you, O Lord, that we continue to discover new ways of how you are present and what you ask from us at this time. We thank you. As we said in the prayer with the choir before we came into church this morning, for the freedom we can have to worship you without fear. We thank you for all those who continue to challenge us to take another step, who make us smile and make us think. And we thank you that as a church, in a partnership of churches, we can do things together. Forgive us. Forgive us when we forget how wonderful all this is. Forgive us if we tend to take things for granted. Forgive us, dear Lord, when faith just becomes another element of the day, with no surprise, with no newness. Forgive us, dear God, if through our silences we have let others believe that nobody cares, that through our actions we often add to the pain. Forgive us, O Lord, for those things that you know that we'd prefer nobody knew. Forgive us for that which is so deep down in ourselves that only in the silence you offer us do we dare bring to you. Loving God, you have promised your love and your forgiveness to all who come to you seeking to change ways and come closer to the values of the kingdom. Guide our walking, our thinking, our saying, so that the kingdom may be among us as you wanted it to be. And to you be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And at this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. As we thank you for what we receive, we ask that you receive the offering. That which we give, what's in the plate or in different ways, so the world may know of your love and our offering may contribute to making this a better world. Now and forevermore. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Come, ye faithful, the anthem sung by the choir. Oh.
reading is on page 131 of the New Testament, reading from Acts 15, verses 22 to 35. Then the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church, decided to choose men from among their members and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the believers of Gentile origin in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia, greetings. Since we have heard that certain persons who have gone out from us, though with no instruction from us, have said things to disturb you and have unsettled your minds, we have decided unanimously to choose representatives and send them to you, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to impose on you no further burden than these essentials: that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell. So they were sent off and went down to Antioch. When they gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When its members read it, they rejoiced at the exhortation. Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After they had been there for some time, they were sent off in peace by the believers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, and there, with many others, they taught and proclaimed the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. Sometimes, Lord, we don't know what is being said, what it means. Help us to discern your word, to believe and to live in the surprises of the new day. Amen. If you were to imagine here at Emmanuel, at Highworth, one scandal that would affect the church, that hasn't happened yet, but could happen. Think of it for a second. What would it be? What would you say over my dead body? This is never, ever going to happen if I have a say in the matter. And it might be different things for different people, but think of it for a second. You've had 3 seconds. I'm not going to ask you. Just think about it, because I'm going to lead you this morning through the reading to the first big, big, big scandal the early church faced. Can you believe it? Gentiles were being admitted into the community of the faithful. You may smile, you may think, what a waste of everybody's time, but nobody back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and I'm not talking of 1930, I'm talking about exactly the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, could have ever imagined something more scandalous than Gentiles being admitted to the community. For years, the community of what they called the believers was that close community of the likes of them. In the early stages, what we now call the church, up until this moment, until Acts chapter 15, literally, had been a small group within the Jewish synagogue. And that's what it was. Secure, boundary safe, this is how it had always been. Some people wanted to keep matters the way they were in the past. Why change? Have you ever heard that? I don't think I've heard it in 40 years of ministry more than in a church. You hear it more than in a club. You hear it more than any society. Why change? Why change? And thinking of this, I remember, and our friends from Highworth will be able to vouch for this, when St. Michael's, the Anglican Church, decided that they were going to change the structure and take out the pews. The whole town got talking. Everybody. It was the biggest scandal that was going on. And you know who the people who were most against it? Those that never came to church. Yeah, but they were on the roll and they had a say and they were not going to let this happen. It got to the courts, the higher courts of the diocese. Go into St. Michael's now, and it is beautiful. They've got the chairs that allow them to do all kinds of things. And since that new setup, that's where we have the Lent lunches, because they've got a kitchen set up. They have a magical dishwasher that cleans the dishes in 20 seconds. It takes longer to put in and take out than it does to clean. I mean, it's fantastic. And you have services like we had the other day to celebrate the bookshop, and you can adapt it. And it's light. But not on my watch that's going to happen. The honest truth is many of those who objected to it that never came to church still haven't come to church. So really it didn't make much difference to the attendance. But that's something that you know happens. Some people want to keep matters as they were. Others realized that things were changing. And the community had to decide what was going to happen. Was the church going to be a continuation of the past, or was it the beginning of something new? The whole future depended on what the Council of Jerusalem was to decide. And what David read for us is the final part of that decision. There was a complication, you see, very justifiable complication. Given that Gentiles, people of non-Jewish background, were being accepted into membership, what was to follow? Are we going to let eunuchs come part of the church? Oh, sorry, that happened in chapter 8 already. We're in chapter 15. A eunuch, part of the community of faith, but they were excluded by law. For years, centuries, you couldn't have that happening. Given the past, for some people the answer was simple. Yes, let them in. We circumcise them, they fulfill the law, and they become Jews who aren't Jews, but are Jews. As long as they look like us. They were welcomed as long as they were converts. And this is where it gets interesting. The Council of Jerusalem considers this seriously. And the break gets really, really thorough. And we heard through the words of David reading the passage this morning, the final decision. You want them to be like Jews? But Paul says to them, but you don't even fulfill the law. Why are you asking them to do what you're not willing to do? Why do you want to impose that on others? Good question. This is not the continuation of an old thing. It is the opening of something new. And this, to me, is the biggest challenge the church over the centuries has to face and will face. How do we become relevant anew given the new structures that the world is facing? The church council meets and decides what will be from now on. They decide that the community, the church, the followers of the way, as it was originally called, is something new, based on the past, but not limited by the past. Was it an easy decision? No, it wasn't. And anybody who tries to tell you that it was an easy decision doesn't know what they're talking about. But they send a letter to the Gentile sisters and brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. And that letter says, listen to this carefully. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and ours as well, not to lay on you any burden beyond what is strictly necessary, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols and to fornication. That's all. And why? I'll come back to that in a moment. The whole matter was to become the entry to the Gentiles, to the church. And that is why we are here today. As a direct consequence of the decision of the Council of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, if it had not happened, the new church would simply have been a branch of the synagogue. And if you wanted to become a church member and believe in Jesus Christ, men would have had to be circumcised. Women would have had the woman's gallery, and they would never mix. But it is because of that that we are here today. The decision is taken and was one to help people have the elements not to fall into the biggest temptation of the time, Roman Empire. This was taken 20 years after Jesus was hung on the cross. And the biggest problem was idolatry. It was everywhere. But even Paul will later say, to eat meat consecrated or not is a matter of conscience. We know where God is. We know what God is talking about. And fornication. Fornication means having sexual relations with the priests or priestesses of the idol of the temples of the idols. It is a way of protecting the people from falling into idolatry, which was the biggest, biggest danger the church of its time knew. Because Paul says, if by your decision a weak person falls, then abstain. Then don't do it. If there is no crisis, you can eat meat. But you see, the butchers, there was no Aldi, there was no Sainsbury, there was no Waitrose. The butcher was the person that dealt with the meat that had been sacrificed to the idols, and then they sold it. That was the only way you could get meat. So, it's been sacrificed to the idols. Can we eat it? No. If we don't eat it, there is no meat in the diet. It was important. But it was also a matter of personal conscience and how we were going to do it. The church council has the power, given through the Spirit, to determine in love the way forward. Today we have the church meeting, the church council. In a local congregation, it is the highest authority. It takes the decisions of what we're going to do and how we're going to do. We're not facing a situation similar to what the Council of Jerusalem is facing. But what if it were? Could we honestly look at ourselves and say, the Holy Spirit and us will say the way forward? Today at the church meeting, the annual meeting, we will listen to what was, determine what will be on the journey ahead. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. There's no hidden agenda on the agenda. We're not going to bring in something that will cause scandal or disruption. We will hear financial reports, but they've been approved by elders already. Don't worry. We will vote, but you've also presented the names yourselves for those who you would like to be elders. For those people, that will probably be the most adventurous moment of the church meeting. This year we have nothing scandalous or earth-shaking. But as a church meeting, at one time or another, we may have to take decisions that are complicated. May we be able to say, in love, that what we are doing, saying, or thinking may help other people find a community of love, embracing, loving, kind. The two hymns we have left in the order of service will answer these questions in a way. We've sung them all before, but think when you sing them how they respond to the question, what's to follow? How do we take decisions? May God guide us so that decisions are not only for ourselves, but for others. Amen. Hymn 520, For Ourselves, No Longer Living. Session.
Holy God, your Son remained with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as friends and neighbors. We too are his disciples, and we offer our prayers on behalf of the church, the world in which we live, and all those whom we share it. Let us give thanks to God for our life here at Emmanuel. We give thanks for Robert, who has just celebrated the 40th anniversary of his ordination. Those who have agreed to be our elders, and all those who contribute time and talents to our church. We pray also for our annual general meeting, which takes place after this service. Heavenly Father, as we meet after this service, we place our faith in you as our guiding light. We trust that you will lead us in the paths of righteousness and reveal your purpose for our church. Strengthen our faith that we may walk with confidence in your divine guidance. May our actions and decisions today be a reflection of the unwavering faith we have in you, in your love and wisdom. Amen. Let us pray for peace, for our world torn apart by escalating violence and wars, for the human devastation that follows. Father, even when things seem hopeless, we know that through you we are never without hope. We beg your intervention for a world on the constant brink of war. Beat the swords into plowshares and cause the lions to lie down with the lamb. Intervene in this world that they might avoid the horrors of war, and let peace rule in all lands. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for all those who are sick or in need. Let us take a few moments to remember those in need of our prayers at this time. Loving God, we pray for those who do not know your peace and for those who are struggling with their lives. We ask for your healing on all those who are sick, your strength for those who are tired, and your love for those who live with despair and fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, we would ask that you would bless us here at Emmanuel with visions for the future and reverence for the past. Guide us each day as we minister to one another and to the world. Help us each day to bear witness to your name and to do your bidding, always mindful of your amazing love for us. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen.
Our closing hymn for this morning from Sing Praise this time. It's hymn 176. We will omit verses 3 and 4. It's quite interesting. I don't know why. There must be a hidden message here. We haven't sang this hymn for a long, long time. And in about 3 weeks, this is the third time I've sung it. This was the hymn which ended the Good Friday Lent talks at Christchurch. Last Sunday at Bath Road, this hymn was chosen. And today, I didn't choose it. Jeff chose it. It is one of my favorite hymns, and it is an invitation. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place. May this prayer be answered. Thank you. some immediately, most not, because of the church meeting, not because we've locked the doors. I don't think. Have we, Don, locked the doors? No. Whenever we go and face the uncertainty, but also the joys, the hopes, and the frustrations that life brings. But we go knowing that God walks with us. Go in the peace of God, be surprised, be filled with love, learn new things, and run the risk of faith, which can only bring us good things. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with the people of God everywhere, this day and forevermore. Amen. Those who are staying for the meeting, please, through any of the doors to the church hall, and those who will be leaving, I'll be saying goodbye to you from the chapel there.